Welcome back to Bread and Butter, everybody. We're serving up the basics for Hearthstone Improvement in episode 64. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host Tito Santana. Tito, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing good. And we have a very special guest returning. We have Warshak. Warshak, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just had a Chipotle burrito and it was quite nice. Yummy. So I'm pretty stuffed right now, so I can't really complain.
Heck yeah. I myself just also recently had dinner, and my girlfriend, she made homemade tzatziki, and we had gyros for dinner. And it was the first time she ever tried making tzatziki, and it turned out so good. It was wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Warshak, what have you been doing inside Hearthstone recently?
Waiting for the expansion. basically the best time there is to play Hearthstone upon, you know, what is it, March, I think, 19th it drops. And we get the core set rotation. We get the new expansion. We get the three last expansions leaving. So, I mean, that's just like right now Hearthstone is, it's okay, but like the golden age is near. We were like 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from like the best Hearthstone we're going to have all year.
Yeah, I feel that. This has been the most disengaged with ranked that I've been like ever, for like any rotation cycle. It just, I love the flavor of this expansion. Just none of the metas have like felt fun to me. But rotation's happening. Always excited about that, because you're right, it's going to be the most fun because the card pool's so limited. And we're getting this brand new set, so most of the decks that we're going to be seeing are going to feel so new.
Yep.
Tito, how about you?
As usual, I am the opposite. I am fully engaged. Like last month, I told you I got Legend four times, four different places.
What the heck?
I am. Well. So. No. So basically, what usually happens, like when we have expansions and rotations and patches, especially patches, is I want to try this, I want to try that, and I tank my rank. And Donkey said, why don't you just have another server, have another account? And I said, that makes a lot of sense. So I went to my old Europe and my old Asia accounts, and I just maxed those guys out. And then I also got Wild last month. So, so I'm kind of, you know, just enjoying it. I'm D1 this month. I'm trying to just get there early. Probably a bad idea, because I probably should just hang out at the rank floor so I don't, completely tank my MMR once the set comes out. But I like to try to do the best I can and see how it goes. Last month I did not too bad. I was looking at the bottom of Legend from, you know, very close to the bottom. I was seeing those Diamond 4, Diamond 5 players. And then I went on a pretty good tear and I got myself in the top, just about 1/4 top Legend, somewhere around there. So we played really well. We saved ourselves and enjoyed it. But, you know, it is what it is. Warshak, what have you been doing outside of the game of Hearthstone? I thought you already talked about it. You just talked about how
I just shared his sentiment. Oh, I didn't share what I did.
Okay, because you were saying like, hey, I haven't been playing that much and all that. So my bad, Doc. What have you been doing Hearthstone?
So I played a couple BGs. BGs is fine, but this twist season is the best twist we've ever had, which is every day a new expansion becomes legal in Twist. So you just get to play through the Hearthstone timeline. And so I didn't play day one. I played yesterday, which was Goblins versus Gnomes. And who would I queue into on my first game except Matt at Arms from Squelch? That was super fun. He was playing old fashioned Handlock. I was playing a very janky Zulok, and then got destroyed, and then I just started playing like Death Rattle Beast slash like Secret Hunter, and I won like 10 games with that and Twist. It's just was fun playing old Hearthstone. It just super nostalgic, pressed all the right buttons I needed to press, and I can't wait for a little bit later in the month where I get my big priest and machine gun priest and stuff back. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
Before we move on, Warshak, what are your thoughts on the Twist format? Because I figured that someone like you would probably be all up in it, but I haven't seen you stream it yet, so I'm assuming maybe you're not feeling all that keen on the format.
Yeah, I probably should have jumped on it and like from day one and like made content throughout it, but I kind of like, forgot. There wasn't a lot of like info, not info about it, but they didn't like, it wasn't on the like the launcher. It wasn't like in the game. Like there wasn't, I kind of just forgot. Like I knew it was going to happen and then like it did. And I just been playing a lot of WoW SOD, to be honest. Like that's, it's been so nice. Much fun. And then there's like this new Deep Rock mining survivor game that's been like a ton of fun too. And but not that Twist, the what, you know, this expansion everyday thing wasn't going to be fun. I mean, that would be something I would definitely go into. But now it's like, why? It's too late for me to almost make content on it, because if I were to do it, I was thinking, as you were talking about it, I'm like, man, I really missed it here, because I could have been like, you know, the storyline of Hearthstone and like been like gone through like each day and like made it a journey or something. But now it's too late.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about last week, is it would have been nice if instead of trying to jam it all in 1 month, they actually gave, it's not like Twist is going to be back in April, so why not make it 2 or 3 months, give us a few days with each meta.
Like every day, if you like can't play that day or couldn't play a lot, you just miss out. And what if that's like one of your favorite expansions? I think it's too quick. Yeah, they definitely like, while it is really cool and you're saying you have a really good time, which is awesome, like it I don't think it was enough time to like, for players like me who just like somehow just I missed it.
Oh, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I don't think it's nearly long enough to enjoy expansion, because like I really only had the time that day to play like 15-17 games, and like, yeah, like that's a amount of Hearthstone, but like I don't have that time every single day for to experience every single expansion.
Yeah
So just, it's just, there's built-in FOMO, so like you almost have to be strategic on like which expansion days you want to miss, if like you can sit like finagle your schedule that way to have time to play days that you want to play on. But I totally agree that it should have been like 2 or 3 days of each expansion. That would have been more enjoyable. I don't know what on Team 5's side, right, about like what limitations they have for this season. But that's definitely, in my like perfect world, that's definitely a change out.
And it's not even just that it would have been nice to have it daily. They had technical issues on day one where the legacy set or whatever was not available. And they got it fixed around noon mountain time, from what I understand. But that means that Asia and Europe had that little tiny window in order to play those modes. So they only got a few hours if they were up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, Asia time or whatever. So like right there, that was just, you know, it doesn't even give them an opportunity to deal with issues that pop up in a timely manner in order for people to experience those days. And I haven't jumped on it yet. I thought I was going to, but it's just, you know, it's too quick. I might try to play, like I said, the time when they have Dragon Hunter. I might try to play that one, because that was, like I said, the deck that got me to Legend for the first time. So try to get those feels in, but I'm not going to worry about it, because, you know, it's just one day and it's not like it matters that much. But
do you think they should have like led with this as an introductory to Twist instead of all the other stuff they did? Like, I think if they would have led with this, it would have actually like made the mode super like super hype off the bat. Like, here's the legacy of Hearthstone in our new format, rather than what they did was re-release the same literal meta we just had. Like, they released the meta we just had in Twist as its new reveal. It was horrible. Like, oh my god, bad.
Okay, but how would you, so the big issue with Twist is barrier to entry. People like you and me and some others, we have the whole collection, or if not, we have plenty of dust. It's not that big of an issue. But for most people, we talked about this a lot last week, so we're not going to go too in-depth on it. But we thought about having maybe a subscription, because I know they've had those in the surveys before, but a subscription that was maybe even Twist or Wild only, or some price point that gets you all the wild cards. And what would that price point be?
$50. Bro, if they said play Twist for like $50 and you can get like a lot of the older expansions, like most of the cards or whatever they did with the catch-up packs, like just huge chunks of cards, I think people would have done that. And then they also might have dived into Wild after that, because they just went through the legacy of Hearthstone. Like, you get, players aren't gonna, it's, how do I put this into words? Like, the people who, like, not every format and not every mode they make is for every player, right? So like, if you're going to do, if there's a ton of players who really enjoy playing all of the old stuff in Hearthstone, which is what this is, it's like all of the older expansions, like one at a time, like those players aren't probably going to come back and play Wild and buy packs for those expansions that are, you know, 10 years old. But if they made a $50 to $70-ish bundle, which included a lot of those key expansions in the twist mode or whatever, and had a lot of cards in it, I think they could make a lot of money that way. I don't know. I can't see the numbers on their end, but they're getting players to spend money on cards that wouldn't normally spend money on those cards to play a mode that they're now getting in, like, a not new audience for, but an audience that is currently not engaged enough in that mode. I don't know.
Yep.
So, Doc, anything else in Hearthstone that you've been doing?
No, but Secret Paladin tomorrow. That's what I'm excited about. That was my that was the first deck I like crafted my first legendary for, which was Tyrion Forgering. And yeah, just Secret Paladin is one of those classic decks to me. Because who am I? None of your business.
Dr. Six.
I still listen to that song on YouTube every once in a while. The mix they have of that. I love that one.
It's a very good one.
So Warshak, what have you been doing outside of the game?
Honestly, like a lot of WoW SOD, Season of Discovery. Like it's been a lot of fun. They just made the level cap from 25 to 40, and like I have already like 2 level 40s within the first week of it being out, and then I started doing the raid, and then you got to do the PvP stuff, and then I have a guild full of like IRL friends, and then like the stream buddies that are in one guild, and then I raid lead for that, and then I also raid lead for another guild. That's a little bit like more serious, that focuses on like parses and stuff like that. So between like running like 2 guilds and raid leading those and still maintaining the Hearthstone stuff and also the Rumble stuff and then still going to the gym and playing with the dog. Like it's been busy.
Doc, how about yourself?
My twin brother was over here last weekend. He was in the general area because his newest short film, Pickles, made it into the Zion Indie Film Festival in Orem, Utah. And so he drove up to stay with us. And then while he was here, we found out it got into the Desertscape Film Festival, which is down in St. George, where he lives and is going to school. And it is the very first short film of the film festival, which is kind of a big deal because that very first film is used to like set the tone of like what they're expecting out of the film festival for as like the quality of the films that have been put in. So this is the first time any of his shorts have been put first. So it's very, very exciting. His current project in that same film festival, which is his capstone project, Come Sunrise, its script got accepted to be read at a table reading at the film festival, because it was in their screenplay competition category. So that's really cool for him too. Just getting a lot of eyes on his work is always good. Especially when he's going to be finishing up his school and everything. So just these projects getting acclaim and everything and getting put on like Letterboxd and IMDb and everything and all these film festivals is going to make it easier for when he wants to go and get funding for bigger and bigger projects. So that's really cool. I also played in the Star Wars card game pre-release, Star Wars Unlimited, this last weekend. It was so much fun. It's a crazy game. I think it would have been better digitally with how they want you to keep track of damage and everything. But if you're a fan of Star Wars, like at the very least, like collecting the cards to like try to get certain characters or like even vehicles from the show or the movies that you really like is really fun. Kind of feels like Commander in Magic a little bit, because you have like a leader that gives you a color system, and then you have a base, which is your health pool, that gives you another color, and then you build decks based off of your 3 colors or 2. But you can play outside of your color pool. There's just a 2 resource tax that you have to pay. And your leader card can flip after you reach a certain requirement, and so then you can actually use them as a unit instead of them just being there. It was a ton of fun. I went 1 and 2 out of the 3 rounds, so I didn't do super great, but I had a fun time playing this new game. I got a full art IG-88 assassin droid leader card, so that was pretty cool. As a pre-release promo. I got a like special edition foil Luke Skywalker and special edition foil Darth Vader. So like that was really cool. And they gave them to you so that you could play them if you wanted to. And I don't think anybody did. Everyone just wanted to play with the cards that they opened from their packs. So that was pretty fun. And then we got a lot of snow. It snowed 3 inches during the pre-release, which was only 4 hours. And then the following day from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., it snowed 4 inches. So when I woke up at 7, I went and cleared out our driveway and our neighbor's driveway. And then that night we played family D&D, and that was fun. They got to fight their first young green dragon, so that was pretty cool for them. And then I had cards come in for my mono red deck for commander and my Yennet Baku deck as well. So that was pretty fun. But yeah, that's all I've been doing outside of Hearthstone. How about yourself, Tito?
I hope with the IG card, you can actually upgrade it by pulling out its guts and sticking a baby Yoda inside of it. and for those that want to get to know Doc's brother a little better, episode 39, we have a nice little interview with him. So go check that out. He'll talk about movie making and everything like that. So last week I told you my kid and wife went to Disney World. While at Disney World, my son and wife like to watch this blogger. His name is Mr. Morrow. He's just a personality that's on YouTube that goes around Disney World and stuff like that. But while they were in Epcot, and while he was wearing a Mr. Morrow shirt, they ran into Mr. Morrow. So that kind of like made my son's
trip. That's really cool.
Yeah. So we have a picture of him like pointing at him, and he's got the shirt that says his catchphrase is anywho. So it was pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, he was. That's probably that definitely highlighted his entire trip. Aside from that, I've been actually watching a little bit more TV. I usually stream every night because just what I do, but I'm taking a few more nights off to actually watch TV and relax and focus on climbing. So I've been doing that kind of stuff. I've been watching The Walking Dead over again. At least not the whole thing. I forgot where I had left off because I wanted to finish the series, and it's been one of those things I always say, oh, I'll finish it. And I picked up where I in the middle of the Whispers scenario, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to go back to the beginning of this. So I started a season behind, and now I'm kind of like in the middle of that whole story, and I'll finish that soon. I also rewatched this series called Unbelievable. It's on Netflix. It is very, very good, but it's very, very... it's very dark. It's about a woman that's been sexually assaulted and like no one believes her. So, and then you go through this thing where you find out it's very informative. It's very good. It's worth the watch, but it's also serious. So if you're not looking, it's not something to watch if you're looking for something light, let's put it that way. But I highly recommend it. It's definitely well worth the watch just to kind of understand, like when you see these things and how people aren't being listened to, how women aren't being listened to, you can see it happening in this, and they represent it really well. And then aside from that, finally got a Civ domination victory on Deity. So now I've beaten, Deity levels on all different win conditions, and I was happy about that. But anyway,
nice.
We've had Warshak on before. But it's been a long time, and I bet you a lot of people don't know a whole lot about him. So we're not going to go through the typical interview questions with him, but I got a few. So, Doc, why don't we get to know Warshak even a little better than we did last time?
Yeah, sounds good to me. So you've been doing a bit more variety than you have in the past. Is that something that you usually do around this time of the Hearthstone expansion cycle? Or is this kind of like your method of content going forward?
Yeah. So normally this is like the driest point in Hearthstone. So like, this is where I normally like my eyes will wander to other games, or my time will, you know, wander a little bit, but normally it always comes back to Hearthstone, like at the beginning of the year when it becomes like really, really awesome to play. This year has been, I kind of wandered earlier and longer, just because, you know, I've actually played World of Warcraft longer than I have Hearthstone. I played, you know, World of Warcraft now for about 20 years. And, you know, I played Hearthstone since the beginning, but WoW's been out a lot longer. So, with Season of Discovery, it's just been like classic WoW, but just everything better, and there's just more. And it's just been so much fun that like I've spent like 12 to 16 hours a day on that game for like 1 to 2 months and now it's tapered down a little bit. So normally, no, I don't stream or do as much variety as I'm doing now, but it's only because I'm having a really, really good time with the other stuff that I'm doing. But yeah, my core is like Hearthstone. That's where my community is. That's how I make my living, is Hearthstone. I don't, you know what I mean? All these other games, they're fun to play, but they don't, I don't make content with them like I do Hearthstone. Yeah, unfortunately.
I was going to ask you about that. Well, first off, never hit slash played. You don't want to know. But why don't you make Warcraft content? Because it seems to be such a... or do you just want that to be separate from your work life, so to speak? Or,
well, there, yeah, I mean, there's two things there. Like making WoW content would turn it into more of like then a job for me than just playing it because I enjoy it. Because Hearthstone is strictly... I play the game to make content. Like, that's... I don't play it just because I'm bored and want to play Hearthstone. Like, I come in every day with a plan of which decks I want to build or what I'm trying to accomplish on what videos I'm trying to make. And WoW, I don't really do, like, I just play and then do what I kind of want to do. Also, it's just too late. Like, the WoW community is so saturated, and the people have been doing WoW since the beginning, and there's no really, like, breaking into the scene. I mean, imagine, like, being a new Hearthstone streamer and then, like, trying to break into the Hearthstone scene. It's like, good luck. Like, it's just very, very difficult. And not only that, Hearthstone's been around 10, so WoW is 20, so like twice the length of, you know, Hearthstone. This, like, the people watch who they watch, and that's just the way it is. So I'm not even going to try to compete with that. However, I did run a WoW channel in 2016. That was like the first content I actually made, was World of Warcraft content. And it was with a group of friends on the channel. And the WoW content was getting anywhere between 300,000 to like 600,000 views a video. Unfortunately, you know, the channel kind of like broke up just because, you know, people have different opinions on what content we should make and what we should be doing. So that stuff actually ended up just being deleted. We didn't see a penny of it. But yeah, that content, if I would have kept going on from that channel and kept doing that, I probably would be a WoW creator, not a Hearthstone creator, just because of, like, you got onto it early. Everybody was watching the guides. I mean, you have a new channel getting 600,000 views on a video. That's crazy.
Yeah. So since the last time we had you on, you've been doing some Rumble content. What, like, pulled you into Rumble, and how have you enjoyed that experience?
So they announced Rumble, I want to say like a year and a half ago, like way before BlizzCon, and I had played a little of the, like, tower defense strategy games, and I really like them. I like strategy games, tower defense, like, it doesn't, if it's a strategy game and it's fun, I'm interested in it, right? And they showcased that, and I was like, wow, World of Warcraft strategy game doesn't involve cards. Let's get it. And it ended up being a lot of fun. I got invited to, like, play the alpha of it, the beta of it. It released at BlizzCon, and a lot of people were having fun with it. I mean, I'm still having fun with it, but definitely the content of the game hasn't progressed to a point where, like, it can be like there's no pivot from Hearthstone to that. Like, it'll be content I make on the side, and I still do play it, but, like, at the moment, it I don't think it really has enough to it to make it a full-blown, like, content game for me where I can, like, really sink my teeth into it at the moment. So
with making content for two games, how has it been navigating that? Like, I know you said it's on the side, but have you felt a weird, like, trying to balance the both of them?
Yeah, it's really difficult because most people, they'll post content for two different games they're playing on their YouTube channel. You know, some people say that's good. I actually made the separate YouTube channel, so that's like, it's like running two channels, twice the work, right? And then you have to if you're gonna make content for the game, you have to either stream it or record it, and that during that time you would normally be working on the main game you're doing, right? So you have to, like, kind of make sure you're allocating your time for this game that's gonna give you the same kind of value as the other game eventually, right? So just, like, time management, knowing how to, like, really min-max YouTube and editing, and, like, be super organized because you got to edit two different things and make sure your uploads are correct, make sure your thumbnails, like, the style is consistent with the channel that's new. It is quite difficult, and yeah, time management, super important. Organizational skills, really important. And again, the audience, if you're going to stream it on Twitch, like a lot of people don't really watch Rumble that play Hearthstone. So like I'm losing out there because they're like, oh, you're a Rumble streamer now. It's like, no, dude, I can play other games, man. Like it's so rough on Twitch when you stream other games besides your main game, because like people just like they'll see you playing not the game they're playing, and then they'll just never come back. They'll be like, oh, he doesn't stream Hearthstone anymore. He's not a Hearthstone streamer. He played Rumble one day. He's done. I got to watch someone else now. It's like, the hell, man.
So a lot of the decks you play in Hearthstone aren't like super hardcore serious. They're kind of more fun, gimmicky style decks. Have you ever thought about trying to do like a high legend push to see if you can qualify for a Masters Tour?
Yeah, that actually like pops up every couple months in my head. But I not to say I've ever done it before, but like I don't play Hearthstone to be competitive. Like it just doesn't seem like it's fun. And I've played good decks to like maybe get good ranks. And we've ended the month at top 500 legend before playing like semi tier 2 decks or whatever. But I just don't have a good time because they're not decks that like I really can sink my teeth into and build and like homebrew and just take like a really bad sub 1% win rate card and turn it into a deck that has above 50% win rate that can hit legend. That's what I enjoy, and that's why I play Hearthstone. And the second I change that and do anything other than the stuff I don't enjoy, the content suffers. I'm not having fun. People don't want to watch some guy not having fun. And it's like, on top of that, not what I want to do. So I'm like, it's just not it. If I could find enjoyment in going for those like high ranks and like, man, you know, I'm top 100, this is awesome, you know, I had a good time. But if you look at some of the freaking pro Hearthstone players and like the grind they go through, they're miserable. They get a lot of views, right? And they seem to do well, but like the tweets that they put out and like some of the stuff you see them say on stream, like it is like not, that's not why I stream. That's not why I play Hearthstone. So that's just like not for me, but like nothing against, you know, players who do want to do that. But it does. I think about that all the time. Like I definitely could like pull substantially more viewers with like a top 100 legend in the title for sure. But at what price? Me hating the game in a month? Like me not wanting to do this every day?
So your mom pops into your stream every now and then. How's that feel?
She stays in there, dude. She doesn't just pop in. She's there every stream. Like, listening.
It's weird?
It's really weird. And there's nothing I can do about it. Like, she wants, it's her, you know, supporting, you know, me.
Yeah.
And like, it's her kid. Like, she's proud of it. She like brags about it, you know, like to her friends and stuff. But it is kind of weird to like, you know, say what I say and do what I do. Like, I'm pretty open on stream about shit. So like, just I kind of just toned it out. At this point, I don't think about it. I just zone out to it. But yeah, it's definitely really f-ing weird. And there's quite a few stories of, it gets a lot weirder than that, but I won't get into that. It's really bad.
Yeah. You're good, my man. So, what is Florabama?
It's Jersey Shore, but it takes place in Florida, not the Jersey Shore cast. It's just a bunch of Floridians pretty much like. But it's kind of the same setting as Jersey Shore, where they go out and party and just be dumb.
Okay.
And yeah, it was it's good. Season 1, 2, 3, solid. Season 4, don't recommend. But yeah, I got a lot of people to sign up to watch Florabama. It was actually quite ridiculous. I had people whispering me on Discord like, "Yo, bro, when's Florabama to catch up?" I'm like, Jesus, bro. Like, this is not a show you guys need to be watching other than with me. This is gonna rot your brain.
Oh, so is that a sponsored stream to watch?
No, you actually, I didn't say that out loud. that's most assuredly like not sponsored at all. It's actually not. It's
so, do you have any fun content plans or anything in the pipe for the next couple months?
I mean, besides like the regular just Hearthstone stuff that's coming out, it's pretty much just exciting enough as it is. You know, this new cards, new decks, new rotation. But I mean, there's no like huge collabs or anything like that. If people reach out to me like Rarin or Ecor or Clark and they reach out, you know, I'll do the episodes with them that they have. But for me, like I hate editing. It's my least favorite thing. So like, I'm not doing anything crazy. The content I have is the content that I'm comfortable with making and what I enjoy and what I think people enjoy. I mean, I've looked at like, you know, the stats of my channel and other Hearthstone people's channels that are bigger, medium size, same as mine. And it seems like we're still doing pretty good for a 10-year-old game. I mean, a lot of the bigger channels, I'm not going to list names, but like the top like 10 biggest Hearthstone YouTube channels are, most of them are negative subs every month. While mine and many of the medium people in the pack, like Ecor, Clark, were positive. So we got to be doing something right.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you ever care about your rank? Like, I know, like, I mean, I've seen you take a deck and play 20 games with it and be 1-19 because you're just trying to make something work. Does it ever bother you? Like, do you ever say, well, you know, I'm kind of way down there and I don't think that represents me well, or does that ever matter?
It matters when people who don't know you watch you, right? Like the first thing when a player like watches you on stream or like, on YouTube is they want to know your rank so they can kind of like put you on a, like benchmark you to how good you are comparative to them or comparative to the people that they watch. Right. And having like a really legend rank obviously does not look great, but at the same time, if you look to see the decks that I'm playing and the way that I build them and my explanations of that, it kind of makes sense. If you see me trying to get this like crazy deck to work and I've gone 1-30 before, and then I'm like, man, this deck feels pretty good, guys. And I look at the ranks, I'm like, we only won one game. I'm like, what the heck? And then, you know, I suddenly went from 1,000 legend to 10,000 or 8,000 legend in a small time frame of 3.5 hours. And yeah, it does feel like to sometimes lose a bunch of games and lose a bunch of ranks. But at the end of the day, like, I don't care that much about my legend rank. To me, legend rank is like the hitting legend is like the benchmark of that month. Like, okay, I hit legend on day 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't care. It doesn't matter. We get to legend every month. We have for the past 8 years or 9 years or however long I've been making content. And then like, that's the benchmark. Legend is already top 1 or 2% of all players. Right. So all these people on Reddit are like Twitch or not Twitch, but like Twitter, like, oh, you're only, you know, 4,000 legend. It's like, OK, well, you know, that's still I'm 98% better than everybody else. Like there's only 2% of the player base that like are even less than that. That's better than 4,000 legends. So like, yeah, you could try to squeak that. That's the competitive side. That's the top 500. Right. Is the top 0.1% or 0.5% or whatever. And like you could try to do that, but for me the what is the word I'm looking for here, the time it would take to invest in going for that very small percentage difference and being like that much better isn't worth like the time investment for it. To kind of not go on a crazy rant, but like Life Coach, I don't know if anybody remembers him or you guys remember Life Coach. So he did this thing with Super JJ where he said, hey, I want to be the best Hearthstone player in the world. What will it take for me to unanimously be the best, right? How much time do I need to spend? How many, like, what decks do I need to play? So for 6 months, he played Hearthstone for 10 to 16 hours a day on calls with some of the best players that have ever existed in Hearthstone. They analyzed every game. They played the best decks by stats. Everything was done by stats. Everything's recorded. Games that were close were reviewed by multiple pro players. I mean, this was a pretty in-depth journey he did for 6 months, right? And his win rate prior to doing this was like 53% to 55%. You know, it hovers. After the 6 months of this rigorous, rigorous Hearthstone training and playing and learning and reviewing, you know, he reviewed his win rate and he reviewed what he had gathered, and his total outcome of all of that time was he increased his win rate by about 1 to 1.5%.
Oh man.
That was it. That's the level of like, yeah, you can put it in there and that's what you can get. But was that amount of time worth that amount of like increase in winning, right? So if I'm winning 51, 52% of my games, yeah, I could get to 55 and get to top 100. but it's going to take that. Why would I do that? That sounds horrible. And yeah, maybe there's a really cool deck or a really good deck, or I found a really good deck before everybody else and I'm loving playing it. It's really well in the meta and I can maintain, you know, the top 250, top 200, top 100 with this new deck, you know, that no one else is playing. But it's first of all, not sustainable and other people are going to play it. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it for small increments of time. I've done it before, but it's not sustainable without putting in these hours that the pros do for that just small percentage. But it's, I don't know, I just can't do it for me. It's just not there. I have too much fun doing other things. Sorry for the long story.
Nope. Oh, you're good.
We're here to talk.
I didn't know that he had done that. So that was really cool to learn that he basically is the case study for Hearthstone and the fact of this much extra training or practice actually only correlates to that small of an increase in his
total win rate
in his play. Yeah.
And it's very marginal. It matters, you know, over hundreds and hundreds of games, like a couple percentage is a huge amount. But in the broad scheme of things, it's not like I would think it would 10%, 15%, maybe even 20%. But like 1 or 2% for that level of like input is that's actually just crazy to me. And granted, that was a meta in Hearthstone a long time ago. If maybe he replicated that, the numbers would be different. Right. That was a very particular person who played particular decks, you know, doing it with a certain group. But now the players of Hearthstone, a lot of the players that he played with don't even play anymore. You know what I mean? And the meta and the cards are very different now. So maybe it would be different nowadays than it was, you know, 5 years ago.
We have many more tools now, too. Much more statistics.
Oh, yeah. There was analysis. No HS replay or any of that. There was that did not exist.
So that helps out a lot, too. And he's also, so yeah, it was almost like a thesis story. It sounds like what you said. He also wrote the thesis on remember to turn off your OBS, but we don't have to get into that. So Whizbang's Workshop, what are your guys' initial sets on the thoughts on the set so far? Doc, how about yourself?
I'm very excited about Demon Hunter and their new legendary that got revealed today, CCG. You get
three first editions.
A few random. Yeah, you get first edition Demon Slayer cards from when Demon Slayer first dropped, which is crazy because like that is the most notorious, most busted set of cards that have ever existed. And it got hot fixed, which for those who weren't around, it wasn't like an actual patch. The numbers were red because that's the best they could do with how they had to push it out because it was that big of an emergency. But oh boy, was those couple hours when those cards were just absolutely busted, a crazy fun couple hours.
Oh my god. It was like, what was it? Was like 92% Demon Hunter on ladder. It was either Demon Hunter or you're playing Warlock and you had the zero mana sacrificial pact, which could kill any demon that the Demon Hunter summoned for zero mana and you'd gain 5 life. So you double sack pack the Demon Hunters. Even then, it was like almost not even close. Like the Demon Hunters just did so much damage.
Yeah, it was. And we'll talk about that card when we get to the classes. But Warshak, what's your impression of the set theme wise? And we've already talked about the neutrals, but what are your thoughts on like the theme and the neutrals?
I mean, it looks good. The stuff looks really powerful, to be honest. Like a lot of the stuff seems pretty up there in power level, and because we're getting high power level cards on the first set after rotation kind of sets the precedent of the year, because if they release like a low impact, not I would say low impact, but a lower power level expansion, then they can kind of ramp up throughout the year. You know what I mean? So when you get cards, it feels like you're adding them in your collection and then like you're using new stuff because it feels good. Yeah. But if they start with stuff already being at a fairly high power level, and then they release another expansion, if the cards aren't pretty much as good or better, it's considered a shit expansion, and like no one plays with the cards, right? So that's the only thing that has me a little worried, is just like this is setting up the rest of the year, and it seems really good in regards to, like I said, power level. But the cards themselves, they're very wacky. They're bringing back a lot of stuff. Like Leroy is quite terrifying for me. I've lost too many games because that guy, I literally would. That's one card. I know how good he is. and I refuse to put him in my decks because I hate the card so much when he goes against me that I don't want to do that to other players. So that's also a reason why my legend rank is not high, is because I actively don't play cards in my deck that I know that are good because I just don't like them. I didn't like, what was his name? Moarg, the 2-mana 2/4, minions take double damage. I didn't like that card because he was ugly. So I just wouldn't play him. That was my reason. So like... but yeah, the expansion
he was
cool.
Tilting too. He was very tilting.
Oh yeah, demon hunters do crazy stuff. Field clears, life steals, warlocks doing that. They play that and then heal for 20 with their like whatever they had at the time for healing because it would double it. But yeah, you know, there's a lot. The new Ziliax looks very cool. Dr. Boom looks very cool. It looks like very flavorful. I mean, it's a 10-year anniversary thing. So I mean, if this expansion isn't good, it's really bad. Like, not only because it's like the 10-year anniversary and it's like super hype for the game, like, hey, 10 years in, game's still kicking, very popular. I'm pretty sure it's still the largest online card game that exists. Nothing is even close to Hearthstone in regards to player base size. So it's an exciting but scary moment as a content creator for it, because if this set isn't good, it sets up for my year to be like not as good as it could be if this set's like the level of Titans fun, right? Like Titans, like, oh my God, that expansion was great. A meta was super awesome for like a month or two. YouTube was doing great. Tons of people playing, tons of new players coming back because the old gods, Uldar, matched up with World of Warcraft, the Wrath of the Lich King. They released Uldar in there and then also released Titans in Hearthstone, which was like, it synced the two together. It was sick. Like, I was running Uldar and then also playing with Uldar cards in Hearthstone. It was fantastic. So, I'm just hoping it's good, hoping everybody likes it, and hoping that it leads us into the next mini set or expansion that's, like, fun as well.
How do you like the fact that they're bringing back new twists on classic mechanics?
What do you mean, like King Plush kind of thing?
Well, they're doing a bunch of things. Like they'll have like they're bringing the spellstones in for the two classes that didn't have them. They're doing other mechanics, like they have Shutter Block instead of Shutter Walk that does does battle cries, but you can't hit the opponent, and it doesn't work the same way. Like they're bringing back all these little mechanics, but just putting a slight twist on them.
I think that has to go with first the expansion flavor, right? Like Wizbane's Workshop, so they're like little toys, so it's like kind of like little twists on stuff that exists in the universe that is Hearthstone. But I don't really mind it. The Shutterwork, granted, was one of my most hated cards of all time. I absolutely despise that deck and that card. It required absolutely no skill. For those of you who did play Shutterwalk Shaman, I don't like you, but I think they took the card, which was cool, like in theory, like a card that replayed all your battle cries, very powerful, very cool game ender, right? And they changed it to a way that makes it still good, still very powerful, but less toxic in the way that, like you said, it can't hit face. So like they took something that is cool and they modified it in a way that's still cool, but like it's more balanced, I guess. It's not an OTK anymore, right? Maybe it is.
Well,
who knows?
Well, it doesn't hit face, but if there are different parameters where you can hit face, like if you have something that triggers death rattles and the battle cry triggers a death rattle and you have mines, those mines, the damage goes face. So there are ways around the restriction. And I'm sure
we'll
that
see,
you're...
right?
Yeah. We'll see if it matters or not.
So like cards like that, like Lady Anachondria, for example, while in itself doesn't do anything, when combined with a combo of cards, all of a sudden it becomes an OTK, like absolute nightmare, right? So cards like the Shutterwook, the new one, is going to be either it's great and it's going to lead to some annoying combo that is going to kill you probably, or it'll see no play, right? That's kind of how cards like that go. And same thing with 0-mana cards. It either just doesn't see play or it is part of like some OTK combo that involves playing a bunch of 0-mana cards.
That's fair. So speaking of 0-mana cards, although there aren't many in this particular... In fact, there's not any in this particular set. We've gotten the Demon Hunter cards. And as Doc referred to, we have... is it CCG?
Yeah, CCG.
So as he had said, it's a 4-mana 4/3, Death Rattle, gain 3... random first edition Hunter Demon Hunter cards. And so I guess it's funny because you get the old version of Metamorphosis, which is worse than the Metamorphosis that is out there now in the expansion because they've buffed it recently. But you also get like Altruis and some other cards like that. It looks fun. I don't think it's going to be that bad because it's random. You get a few cards. It's a legendary. You get one of them, you know. So I think it'll be fun. But my concern is with the flavor that they've put in here where they say, hey, these are first editions. If they need to balance them at all because of problems happening in the meta, how can they do that without also keeping the theme of, hey, these are the first editions?
I mean, they could probably just tweak the numbers on how often they show up out of the selected three for the discover or for the grab effect from the death rattle is what I would assume. But I don't think that they'll like touch the mana cost or anything on those cards because that's supposed to be the gimmick of this card, right? So I just think they'll limit what buckets those cards are in and how popular those buckets would be given to the player.
Even that's a stretch, I think. I don't think they've ever done any modification that. I don't think the card is good at all. Like, I don't think the card is, like, the cards, like, while the cards that it gives you, like, some of them are pretty good, I don't, like, it's a death rattle, right? So you have to play, it's a 4-mana do nothing, and then it puts cards in your hand that are, like, random, right? Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem that great to me. So I don't think the cards it gives you, them being balanced would, like, change, like, they're not good enough to warrant ever, I don't think, being changed. Like, even if, like, you get Skull of Gul'dan, right? What if it puts it on the very left? And then, like, so you have these two cards on the right plus your drawn card. So now Skull of Gul'dan's in the middle of your hand. Yeah, at 5-mana. You know what I mean? Like, it would have to land perfectly. Yep. It would have to roll Skull, and then it has to be on the very right. And then you have to draw a card that you can play that doesn't generate a card and have enough mana and have the hand. Like, there's just so many things.
But imagine the Trolldin video.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It is a content card. I'm going to play with it. That's the card that those are cards that I play with because they're bad. It's probably going to be bad, but it's going to be good bad. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And Demon Hunter doesn't have like a big amount of death rattle synergy. So it's not, I don't think this card is going to become problematic. Like when this card spikes, it's going to spike hard. But yeah, it's just a fun card.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There's always a chance. There's always a chance.
Let's start with Warshak. Warshak, any of the... we're not going to go through every card, obviously, because we'd be here till tomorrow. But are there any cards in Demon Hunter that are really exciting to you or not exciting? What are your thoughts on these cards?
Yeah, so you're going to be pretty disappointed with this answer. For new expansions and cards, like, while a lot of people love, like, looking at what's coming out and, like, reviewing them, I actually find it best to, like, I don't really pay attention to the cards or really deep dive into it until, like, 2 days before, like, theory crafting. And then I, like, look at everything as, like, a whole instead of, like, one little bucket at a time. So the only reason I know this Demon Hunter card today is because... there's a ton of posts about it with Celestion, and then like the MAMS was there today, not for that card, but like in general. So this is one of the few cards that I have seen from the set. And I think that's the only new Demon Hunter card I've seen. I don't know any other Demon Hunter cards. I just got lucky that you guys brought that one that I know up.
Well, they have a couple interesting ones. Do you mind talking about it or do you like to keep it?
No, that's fine. You're totally fine. I just don't like seek them out. I normally savor and then I like get a whole dump of all the cards at once, like a couple days before theory crafting. I'm like, oh yeah, look at all these new cards.
I'm so kind of surprised by that though, because the way they have changed the way it works is now we have all the neutrals and then you get the full set of the class. So like as of right now, we have all the Demon Hunter cards that are being released and all the neutrals. So you could basically theory craft any Demon Hunter deck right now or any Warrior deck, Shaman, Paladin,
that
Druid.
Is true. Like, they definitely have changed it, but I like not knowing until like a couple days or a day or two before I get to play with them. Like I just knowing about the cards like weeks beforehand, I'm like, what am I going to do with this information?
That, yeah.
I know it's a terrible take. I know it's not a normal take and I know it's like against all my content like ways. Like there's tons of views to be had with reviewing and covering all these new cards and oh my God, this is going to break the meta, but dude, I can't do it. I'll play with it when I can play with it, and that's it.
you don't want to give Defile a one star and then let that define you for years.
Yeah, I'm good. I also love non-standard players doing reviews on a standard cards. That's also one of my favorite. Those are my favorite videos to watch.
Well,
no shade at all.
Well, there are a couple interesting cards in the set. I like Magtheridon. Sure. Magtheridon Unreleased is an 8-mana 12/12, dormant for 2 turns. While dormant, deal 3 damage to all enemies at the end of your turn. So that's something brand new.
That's a big boy.
That's a big boy. And if you want to keep him as a generator, just play your prison, the prison that makes something dormant, and just keep him dormant.
What prison?
Is that another
new card?
The red card.
No.
It's a 1-mana epic spell.
No, that's something different. Although, no? that make a minion go dormant for 2 turns. That's there too. But you also have the prison that the hat, the one that looks like ridiculous hat. That if your health is below 20, no one plays it except
Sheriff Battleburn.
Yeah. If your health is below 20, get a jail. That one.
Yeah. Keep him in jail. Keep him doing 3 damage to the board.
A good idea.
I really, really love the art of this card.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I don't know. It's just it feels like Doom to me.
I mean,
I'm getting big Doom vibes, and I dig it.
Have you seen Magtheridon in like any of like the Warcraft trailers?
Wow.
Yeah. Have you seen like how massive that guy is?
I haven't. I'm very new to, well, not very new. I didn't really start playing WoW until Shadowlands. And like, I played Classic a little bit, but I haven't experienced like,
yeah, he's
that, like that part of,
he's a very serious, huge demon. In TBC, he has his own raid. He's, oh heck yeah. His picture should do him justice. He is a massive unit.
He sure is. Although it looks like he may skip leg day, I don't know. They also brought
in 4 legs.
Dude, those are beefy. What are you talking about?
Yeah, look at those arms, man. Like they're unproportioned. He's just got these gigantic arms. So I think the legs are naturally beefy, but he puts the work into the arms. We also got they don't call it a whatever they used to be called, but we have a Spirit of the Team, which is a 2-mana 0/3 stealth for 1 turn. Your hero has +2 attack on your turn. So this is kind of a throwback to Rosticon's Rumble. Everyone's favorite expansion.
Everyone's favorite expansion. Yep. The expansion everyone remembers exists.
You know, we had a couple of those spirits of, you had like the Spirit of the Shark that was the rogue one that was pretty good. The Spirit of the Frog. Yep. And that one with Krabatoa, right? Krygwa.
And there was the member of Team Swagoi that got Holy Wrath for Shrovala for 25 on turn 4 or 5 and lost the Masters Tour that way.
That, believe it or not, that was like one of the most fair, like high skill ceilings deck that I think has ever existed, was Shrovala OTK Paladin. Like, no cap.
Yeah, I just played it. My first Legend in Wild, which was 2 months ago, was I got there with Shrivala, the Shrivala deck.
It's
a lot
still
of fun.
Played?
It's roughly tier 2 right now.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I was playing Reno Death Knight. You know, even Reno Plague Death Knight. And that was fun. It was winning, but it was slow. So I hit up our friend E Sheep City and said, "Hey, give me a deck that's a little faster than that." And he gave me that. And And I did have a few turns where I'm just like, my only out is to hit this Holy Wrath to their face with no guarantee that I can hit it and grab them. But what makes that deck really work right now is you have the card that reorders your deck so that the highest card is up top.
Full Kelt.
Yep, and you got that. No, not Pole Kilt. The spell. Order in the Court.
Order in the Court.
Oh.
And you have two giants there. The
Oh my god, Order in the Court with that deck? I didn't even think. Oh my goodness. Yeah, back in the day, you didn't get to do that. You had to play the card to put it back in your deck when you had no cards in your deck and then use Holy Wrath. So you had to actually draw your whole deck first.
Yep.
And then do the combo. Yep. This, you just order in the court and then Holy Wrath. You dirty man.
And if you and if you draw it, you have two Molten Giants right behind him.
Cute.
And you play that crystal guy that turns all your mana, your health into armor. So you get that on turn two or three, you can drop giants right away. It's pretty nice.
You make me like so happy I don't play wild. Like just hearing this makes me just so happy I don't play that format. Thank
Fair
you
enough.
For making sure I never touch that format for an additional year or two. Not well, that I have any plans to, but
the real issue in that format is the bots, but you know, it's fun. You know, I didn't mind it. I like my favorite deck to play in Wild actually is Sunkeeper Ra Rogue.
Oh, that's the one. Oh, the guy when you kill all your cultists, he does 20 damage to your opponent. That guy.
You have to battle cry and have six other cultists on the board. It's a battle cry. So you play your seventh cultist, and as long as you play it.
I remember that meme deck. Yes.
Yeah, I love Very that nice. Deck. That deck's so much fun because no one knows it. No one expects it. No one expects some Keeper Ra or the Spanish Inquisition. So, you know.
Those decks are like like Sunkeeper Ra and then the other one, the priest one that said if you had two of the corrupted bloods on the battlefield, get yourself a giant.
Yes.
Like decks like that and like mechanics like that really excite me for like the content that I do. Like those are some of my favorite. Like my Ra video was like one of my best performing Hearthstone videos. Like making that deck work.
So my and actually I played one of those. I got it off Mark McKay there. And I played it to like 50% win rate for over like 40 games. So it was it was close to being refined enough where it was actually a legitimate deck, at least where I was playing. But the reason why it took me so long in my career to hit Legend is because I used to do the same thing. I love those decks. I tried for years to make Obelisk work. You remember the Obelisks?
They're so bad. For every Obelisk you have, do you like, what was it, 5 damage at the end of your turn or something to a random enemy?
Yeah,
was
it
3?
It
was some astronomically low number. Yeah, so terrible. God bless you.
It didn't keep me from trying. So, speaking of really strange cards, what do you think of the Wheel of Death? Now, if you haven't heard about this one yet, this is a Warlock spell. It's an 8 mana spell, legendary. Destroy your deck. In 5 turns, destroy the enemy hero.
I don't know. Right now, 5 turns in this meta, you're dead by turn 5. So waiting till turn 8 to play an 8 mana do nothing, and then you have to wait 5 more turns, or I guess 4 turns after you play it, that sounds like a meme card to me. Fun, but a meme card.
It also destroys your deck, so you're already on the clock there too.
Yeah, that's really not the
hard. You throw in.
Go on, sorry.
You throw in the early fatigue package, right? So then you take and you hold some fatigue cards. So you do this, you increase the fatigue damage, and then hopefully with what else you have in your hand and on board, you can use the fatigue damage you're building up so that the 5 turns doesn't even matter.
Oh, that's going to go in wild for the quest lock, right? The Demon Seed.
Yeah, it's definitely going to probably weave in somewhere. The thing is, they need to play the 8 mana spell early. I think that's the most. Having no deck doesn't matter in Hearthstone right now. There's so many cards that you can play that you got Tony that can steal your opponent's deck. You got Symphony of Sins, which puts 6 cards or 5 cards in your deck. You know, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to add cards to your deck or copy decks and stuff like that. It's really just the spending, living to 8 mana, having the card in hand, playing it, and then not losing the turn you play it because it doesn't actually do anything, right?
Right.
So, the getting that card out early, I think, is the what's gonna make it work.
Blood Bloom's not coming back.
Nope.
Post rotation,
nope.
Right? Okay. Thank goodness.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that you could have some fun with it, but like, thank God they changed Tony. They nerfed Tony because I mean, it still could be useful here because it will make a copy of your opponent's deck or whatever's left of it and put it in yours so you can gain something there. But that's another turn 5. I mean, that's a turn 9 you're doing that, and it's not going to be great. But if you could do it the other way where you give him your deck and you had the Jailer or whatever. Jailer's rotating. No one's thought about him in a long time, but it's just some fun things. They also have Game Master Nimsy, which is Battlecry, draw a demon, Death Rattle, swap places with it. So basically, you draw a demon to your hand. When it dies, it swaps that minion from your hand to the board. I don't know if it'll swap places on the board if you play the demon. So if you have Nimsy over here and the other guy over here, and they die, if that Nimsy will pop over to the other side, but it'll at least pull them from your hand. And there used to be a card that did this as well. That would replace. It wouldn't do it to you from the hand or the deck, but if it died, it would swap positions with a card in your deck or demon in your deck. Play it, and then you would draw it again and play it again. There was a combo too. There was something that what the hell was the name of that card? Do you remember what I'm talking about, Warshak?
Swapping, and the only thing I think is Void Caller, but I know that's not what you're saying. I know it's not no. Void Caller.
When the card died, it was a Warlock card. When the card died, it went into your deck and brought out a demon. And I'm gonna have to look it up. But
you're gonna have to look this up.
Yeah,
I will say on like an art, I don't know, the art in this set's really, really good. I love her Hearthstone DM screen and like the little minis you can see on her game table. And she's like infusing a 6-sided die and what looks like to be an 8-sided die with some of her Warlock magic. Just, I don't know, like the artists like took the prompt that they gave them and just executed it very well. It's a very fun looking card. But it's also Nemzy. Nemzy's like the cool, fun, like Warlock character. So I think that this flavor wise, this card makes a lot of sense to be Nemzy, and I'm just glad it's Dungeons and Dragons related.
That's funny, because on Twitter, Cora was like, when making this card, we were thinking of who is the most punchable character, and they were like, Nemzy.
That is funny.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like her. Like I eventually finally did the do your own tavern brawl at home so I could get the scan, and now you have a
cheater.
Bunch of them, but
cheater.
It was you. Well,
bro, I remember at DreamHack Denver in 2017 when she first came out, people were talking about like driving 40 minutes after day one to go to some random person's event just to get Nemzy to be able to play it and or whatever. It was just I miss Hearthstone Firesides so much, and I will say that until my lungs burst. But yeah, Nemzy's fantastic character. Really like the flavor of this card.
Now, if you're looking for a more in-depth discussion of the cards and the decks, I definitely recommend Coin Concede or Vicious Syndicate Report, not Blizzlet. But we recommend you listen to them anyway. Actually, believe it or not, they had an episode last week where Daniel wasn't on, and I believe they were probably 80-85% Hearthstone. It was very it was Dr. Morganon. Dr. Morgan, Deathrattle, swap this with a minion from your deck. It was a 6-mana 5/5 Warlock card.
Oh,
not ringing any bells? This sounds like the card for you.
It sounds right, but it sounds really bad. That's probably why I don't know.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Which means I should know it.
That was my thought. All right. So any other thoughts on Warlock cards? Take a look. Let's move on to Shaman. So Shaman has two legendaries. They all have two legendaries, obviously, and a location. The Shutter Block, as we were talking about before, has miniaturized Battle Cry. Your next Battle Cry triggers 3 times but cannot damage the enemy hero, which obviously, like we said, there's probably going to be some shenanigans you can do to work around that. And I think there's puzzles there. I'm sure there's a combo they have in mind that when they design it, but I think it's interesting. It's fun. What do you guys thoughts on that?
It's Shutterwalk. I like the idea of Shutterwalk just being the Jabberwocky from Alice in Wonderland. And again, I really, really like the art. It just looks like it's one of those old like wooden toys that would stand on a pedestal and you could press the bottom up and it would just kind of all like fall apart because the tension in the strings was gone. That's what the art style reminds me of.
I see it.
Thank you. I'm glad you understood what I was talking about. Yeah, more or less, yeah. But that it just I don't know. Looks fun. Multiple battle cries can obviously get out of hand, as Shutterwalk has taught us in the past. But I'm excited. I'm glad that Hearthstone's bringing back greatest hits as far as community favorites or like community infamous cards, right? And this one definitely is rides both sides of that line for sure.
And they're also giving us a their other legendaries, Hagatha the Fabled, which is a 5-mana 4/4. Battlecry. Battlecry seems to be the theme for Shaman, by the way. Draw 2 spells that cost 5 or more. Transform them into slimes that cast the spells. So basically, we had a mechanic like this before. Where it's kind of like this is like the new teacher, right? This is the new the Naga teacher there that gives you the Nagalings, but different. And, you know, it's just another fun spin on it. They also give you a location, which is a 3-mana 2 durability location. Draw a Battlecry minion, it costs 1 less. So I think there's going to be a lot of Battlecry shenanigans going on with Shaman. It looks fun. We'll see. Shaman's one of those classes, right, that's either really good or really bad, and there's usually no in-between.
Yep. It's always, yep. Shaman Stone, Druid Stone. Those are the decks those are the classes that just when they're good, they're really good. And then if it turns the Hagatha card, it turns them into slimes, then it makes them slimes battle cries, right? And the battle cry works with Shudder.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. All right. And then Shudder has miniaturized on it, right?
Yep.
My God.
Yeah. And they could potentially cast a Baking Soda Volcano, which is a 4-mana lifesteal, deal 10 damage randomly split amongst all minions. So Shaman's going to have Battlecry shenanigans and then just be able to heal 10. It is also Overload 1. But I'm glad that they brought Volcano back in some degree. That was such a frustrating card for me in Un'Goro. But it was a fun card, and I'm excited.
All right, Warshak, what do you think about this card? And I know, you haven't thought about these ahead of time. Wish Upon a Star. 7-mana spell. Do nothing. Give 2+2+3 to all minions in your hands, deck, and battlefield. So I guess it's like a Bloodlust, but it also buffs everything.
Battlefield, hand, and deck, 7-mana.
Mm-hmm. And deck and battlefield.
It sounds okay. I mean, isn't like the new elemental card, she's 7-mana, and she doubles the stats of all your elementals?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. 2 and 3 in stats on turn 7, or just double all the stats. I don't know. It seems okay, I guess. I don't think it's not overwhelmingly spicy. Buffing minions. I mean, look at the Paladin Excavate. Give every minion hand, battlefield, and deck +3/+3. I mean, how exciting is that? Not very exciting, right? And that goes on the board around turn 7 or 8. So this kind of is this in the same realm, I guess, as that in my head of giving minions buffs around that same turn. And I don't know. It is what it is. It's okay, I guess. It'll be annoying when it gets randomly generated, right? But I don't think it's a main decked card.
That's fair. I don't typically see the Paladin one because you kind of have to work for it. And, you know, you have to excavate 4 times. It's not really... Excavate Paladin, I guess, is okay, but it's not pure. But speaking of Paladin,
it's not pure. There's nothing pure about pure Paladin. That's dirty. It's a dirty deck. Dirty people.
So right before this, I had a match where I had a Countess, and they had health. They had a full boat of health and some armor. I don't remember what it was, but I played the Countess. I got Sathanos. I got the Cenarius that, you know, that gives all your minions +2/+2 or draws whatever. And what the hell was the other one? Anyway, I played them all out, and, you know, I was able to play a bunch of spells and the Thanos them down. And that's my favorite thing to do with Countess. I think I had that more. You don't play it in Demon Hunter anymore, but you play it plenty in Paladin. And, I had another one, too, where, I've played more Glug in Paladin than I have in Shaman. And I actually played Milhouse. I had Putricide as one of my guys, and then I had Milhouse. And so I had 2 1/1s on board. I played the Putricide. I got a do three damage concoction and played Milhouse to play it for 0 mana because I was out of mana. I hit him in the face. It was thing of beauty. But
nice.
But the paladin, so we have Pipsy Painthoof, which is Death Rattle, summon a random Divine Shield, Rush, and Taunt minion from your deck. And that has lots of things that says, hey, how about my crafted Zilliacs? And oh, we should ask you, Rob, how do you feel about Zilliacs?
Oh, it looked cool. I mean, it seems really like, I like that you can customize it to like the deck that you're building. It has a lot of flavor. I mean, the card itself, like, I don't think they could have made the new Zilliacs more Zilliacs-y. Like, it's perfect for what Zilliacs is and like what it, like he said, you know, and like, they hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, with the new one.
And they have the Toy Captain Tarum, which is a miniaturized, it's a 5-mana 3/7 miniaturized taunt battle cry, set of minions attack and health to this minions. So the first one you probably using on your own minion, and then the miniaturized you're probably using for a clear. I think that's interesting. I don't think it's going to be, it's not going to be the old Tarum for sure, and I don't think they wanted that. But
no,
they have it.
He was one of the strongest. He's one of the strongest cards of all time. Like, they weren't going to make him just come back, but they kept his flavor, which is amazing. And I love that. Just OG paladin card.
And so they give us a 7-mana crafter's aura, which is 7-mana at the end of your turn. Summon a random 6-cost minion last 3 turns. That might be okay. But they gave us back Liadrian. Which is return any cards played on, any spells played on your minions to your hand. And I'm excited for that card to come back. But the only spell they've really given us was Fancy Package, which is divine, give a minion with Divine Shield +2/+3. So we're basically relying on the spells from the previous expansions in this set. So I think Liadrian is going to be somebody we're going to see this year, but I don't think it's going to be this time around. So that's Paladin. We're not going to go through all the cards. Druid, we saw our friend Blister Guy do the reveal for a spell damage. There's lots of spell damage here. Kind of like a poor man's Mal'Ganis, right? Not Mal'Ganis, Malagos.
Malagos.
You got Owlonius, which is the legendary 7-mana 6/6. Your spells get double damage from spell damage. And I believe that is additive. So if you find a way to get more of these, you can play more of these. You use Shattered Reflections or whatnot. That's just going to double the double. So there's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a problem.
You also have Sky Mother Aviana, which Sky Aviana is, if not the worst legendary of all time, it's up there. It would make
it can't your first be that card bad.
It made your first card played each turn one, and it costs 10 mana, and then you pass your turn. So your opponent's first card costs 1, wasn't it?
That was Dark Aviana. There was a dark one, and the 9-mana one was all of your minions cost 1. Period. That wasn't the first one. The dark one was the first minion each player plays every turn costs 1. That one was bad, but the actual Aviana got nerfed. She went to 10 mana, I think, instead of 9. I don't know. Something happened with her because you could play her with Kuhn, and then you could OTK with C'Thun himself.
Yeah.
Because then you would just play, you'd Aviana, Kuhn, Brand, C'Thun, bounce C'Thun with Brewmaster, C'Thun, bounce. You just keep doing that and you win. It's infinite.
All right. We have, no worries. I got it mixed up. We have the location is 1-mana, 3 durability, gain spell damage +1 this turn. Seems on point. I think that's going to be seen in a lot of decks, especially if we're getting 3-mana swipe back. You have Sky Mother Aviana, which is, like we're saying, it's now the new one, which is Battle Cry. Shuffle 10 random legendary minions into your deck. They cost 1. I think this card will see play, but I don't think it's going to be that good. I think it's a card that you remember the times where you played this and then you got a real cool legendary that won you the game, and then you realize later on, like, I've been playing this at a 40% win rate. I don't know why, what's going on, but I'm generating Sergeant Sally. Did they bring her back? No, I don't think so. So I think that's fun. They also brought back Jade on some level. You have a 1-mana 1/1 Jade display, Death Rattle, Your jade displays have +1/+1 this game. Shuffle two of them into your deck. That's a death rattle. So I don't want to deal with that. I just don't touch it, you know?
Or silence it.
Or silence it. And then you another interesting card is Insmallen, which is a 3-mana. Reduce the cost and attack of minions in your deck by 1, which I think goes along with your Owlicious into your Shattered Reflections. So there's a possibility there, but any thoughts on these druid cards before we move on to the next class?
And the Jade's one seems kind of weak, but I mean, they kind of made the whole package in one card by doing it the way they did. You know what I mean? Before there's tons of Jade cards, right? And then like they kind of had to support it, but this, the way they did it with this one card, it's like, here's Jade's, do what you want with this one card. You can go crazy with it. And then we're going to fill the expansion with other stuff too. So I think that's fine. It's cool, but it's obviously not overwhelmingly powerful.
I wonder if they actually can slot that into an actual Jade deck in Wild, and if it would be strong there or not. All right, so Warrior has a couple interesting ones. It has Bot Face to take the place of Rot Face, which is Taunt. It's a 9-mana, 3/9. Taunt, after this takes damage, get 2 random minis. I don't know what the minis are. I thought they were going to be the minis that we were getting off Rogue, but apparently there's something else. So it sounds like it's going to be pretty good. You have a lot of mech synergy here. You have Boom Wrench, which is a weapon with miniaturize, so you get an extra swing on it later. And Death Rattle, trigger the Death Rattle of a random friendly mech. You know, that can possibly put more Zilliacs in your deck if you are playing the Zilliacs that, when it dies, has a Death Rattle, shuffle this back into your deck. That could be fun. You have Inventor Boom, which is a battle cross, 8-mana, 7/7. Battle Cry, resurrect 2 friendly minions that cost 5 or more. They immediately attack other enemies. So you have to get to the late game there, but that seems like it's going to be fairly fun and possibly powerful. And of course, they have the Quality Assurance, which is a 2-mana, draw 2 taunt minions, because it's always going to give a little bit of hope to somebody that wants to play Taunt Warrior, just enough to keep them. It's like, just enough to keep them there. And like, hey, there's another card. Maybe it'll work this time. That Black Rock and Roll card, it's still good. You play that. You play this, and then you win, right? No.
Then you play the turtle, and then he blows stuff up. Easy as that. You just got to play 8 cards before that. Your opponent has to have a board, and you have to draw this card on curve. It's simple as that.
They do have an interesting card, though, which is Recommendecum. It's a 3-mana spell. Choose a friendly mech. Summon a copy of it that attacks a random enemy and dies. I mean, that has the potential to possibly do some interesting things.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And then
it says random enemy, right? Enemy minion or enemy.
So that'll go face.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's not bad at all. I mean, if you have an 8 attack card out, you just play a 3-mana deal 8. And if it has Death Rattle, it could do more. That seems pretty solid.
And then Odin Warrior get a little more support with safety goggles. Gain 6 armor for 2-mana. Cost 0 if you don't have any armor. So, you know, that's going to slot right in there.
When does that happen? When does a warrior have no armor?
I would say that you would use it early on in those games if you're going up against aggro.
Okay. I was giving you a hard time. Warrior always has armor.
Is the
destroy all armor card still around?
No. Wait,
5-mana, 5/5. That card is gone.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was here or not. So
that would live in ETC if Warriors
was
ever.
That? Plate Breaker? I think it was called.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That would live in your ETC whenever Odin Warrior is good.
Oh my god, yeah.
They also have Chemical Spill, which is summon the highest cost minion from your hand, then deal 5 damage to it. I'm sure wacky things will happen there. Okay, well, I mean, they have a couple Death Rattles and stuff, but alright, and that's pretty much it so far that's been released. I think the theming's on point. Like you said, I think there's some strong cards. There are some packages here, but I think with like the way the neutrals are kind of all over the place, I don't think you're going to have that much, pre-packaged synergy with a lot of these decks. Hopefully we can see a little bit more creativity. There's no tribal decks really, right? Outside of mechs for Warrior, there's really no tribal synergy. We're not getting Murlocs. We're not getting Undead.
That's good.
So
they always try to weave in Murlocs. To like every expansion, it takes up 5 cards. And it's just like it's never worked.
Well, and also in the first expansion of the year, we all usually get some synergy like that for people that are coming in that maybe are just starting out It's like, hey, this is kind of an easy way to figure out a deck. Hey, these are all Murlocs, throw them all together. These are all, Totem Shaman's not going to be a thing anymore. All those cards are rotating. So, yeah, so I we're not going to have any just innately tribal decks, at least not new. I don't know. So, do you have any final thoughts on the set so far before we start moving to the end?
Excited. I mean, looking forward to playing with it.
And Doc, how about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, this is the nostalgia set of all nostalgia sets that could ever exist for any game. So I'm just excited. It's going to be fun to celebrate Hearthstone's 10th birthday and just get to play with new takes on all of these classic and iconic cards. So the 19th can't get here fast enough.
And I want to point out one thing before we move on. Have you already been confirmed for the theory crafting yet?
Did they announce anything on the theory crafting?
No, I'm not. So maybe you can't talk about that yet.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So if Warshak does get into the, if Warshak does get into the theory crafting, which he has several, I mean, I would expect it because that's been how it's been. But he starts when it opens and leaves when it closes. He does like a 12-hour plus stream and theory crafts all day. So if you want to see like everything played, I suggest go checking out his stream. I suggest it anyway, but that is a day you want to try to keep it on in the background. And, you know, his mom helps him to kind of decide some things. Say, hey, no, maybe
Jeez.
Well, Doc, that Yikes. Was a lot of information, a lot of stuff. I think we have some room for dessert, though. What do you think?
Yeah. So, Warshak, last time we asked you what your favorite dessert was. And if I remember correctly, you're not really a sweets. I feel like we did because he said he wasn't really a sweets guy. He was a savory guy because he grew up not really having a bunch of sweets. And so he just doesn't really like sweets. Am I right?
Yeah, I don't eat any sweets at all. Like no cupcakes, no brownies, no candy bars, ice cream, none of that.
So, and I know I asked you this last time, but when you want to like treat yourself to something that's, like outside of your diet or whatever, just like,
okay,
a goodie, whatever, right? Like, what are like a couple things you like to go to?
So, like, if I'm gonna like go out of my way to get like a yummy snack, it would probably be like cheese wrapped in prosciutto, like the meat. Like that's like kind of really yummy. Another thing is like anything. Honestly, I really eat cheese a lot. Another yummy snack, I eat nuts a lot. I go to Costco, buy 2.5 pounds of nuts, and I'm like, let's go, that's my snack.
Nice
Cliff bars, I guess. Like I don't know, I'm not like a big snacker. Like I have very few snack items, and I if I were to like eat things, I eat like burritos.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say that you throw some, if you're feeling a little flavorful, you throw some strawberries in your protein shake or something.
Oh, no, I don't like eat fruit or anything that often because it goes bad too fast. Like by the time I get to eat it, or I forget I have it, and then like 2 days, 3 days, it's done. So I got to have things that like last a while. So like my deep freezer is my best friend.
By the time raid's over, it's already gone bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Listeners, leave us a review. Let us know how the show's going. We prefer 5 stars because it helps with visibility, but give us what you feel like we deserve and let us know, good, bad, the ugly, because we want to make this show something you want to listen to and something we want to keep doing. So help us out and we'll read your review out on the show. Warshak, where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, I have the Twitter stuff, the Instagram, the YouTube, Twitch, Kick. I'm on everything. It just should be Warshak, WARSHACK.
Nice. Tito, how about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Tito Santana HS. And how about yourself, Doc?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Doc McButt. And do you have any shout outs this week, Warshak?
I don't think I do. Shout out to you guys for having me on again. There you go. Let's go. Appreciate you reaching out and doing it again.
Yeah, thank you. It's fun to have you on. Your pleasure to talk to you as always. So thank you for the fun times and I honestly didn't know about the life coach thing. Like that's honestly one of my favorite things that we've talked about today. Cause that's, I don't know, just a fun case study on how much crunching the numbers actually equals. I just find that kind of stuff interesting. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. I carry that story today. I tell it, I wouldn't say all the time, but in a case that I can bring it up, I'm like, hey, by the way, we didn't know this. Life code.
How about yourself, Doc? Any shout outs this week?
Yeah, obviously Warshak for being on again. It's just, it's fun getting to chat with you. And big shout out to Matt at Arms. He sent me a Jurassic Park Ixalan Mountain, which has the T-Rex from Fallen Kingdom and the Gallop on one side, and then the Gallimimus running down the mountain on the other side, and a couple other cards for my mono red commander deck. So Matt, thank you, and I hope you don't get too upset when this deck beats you next time. How about yourself, Tito?
Well, first off, Warshak, I think once you said I don't really do card reveal season, I realized that we probably had you on at the same time during a card reveal season last time we had you on, because as soon as you said that, I remember that. So next time I ask you to be on, say, hey, is it card reveal season? Wait, why don't you talk to me a week or two after the set launches, and that'll be a little bit more fruitful. So I apologize for that, but definitely thank you, bro, for having me coming on. And I want to shout out Warshak's dog, who was clearly upset that he's doing more tonight than he normally does, because he was sitting there nice on the couch next to him or whatever, the chair, saying, come on, dude, what are you doing? Like, time's over. Let's go play. So I shout out to Warshak's dog. But anyway, guys, I think we're toast. That's it. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Laters.
Slide two brothers meet one another when they slide up to the mic. It's bread and butter with one another. Let's start up that recording light.